Here we go. So we're up to Siman Reish Samach Beis. So the Torah says, "Zman Mila biyom shmona leida." So v'yom v'lo v'layla. That the mitzvah is the time of Mila is the eighth day during the day and not night. And umishal amud shachar shel yom shmona hu tchila zman. And from the time of avos shachar, and we'll see the shulch of the basis will argue on that. His v'chol yom kasher lekach, and the whole day is fine. El shuz rizim aktib. The mitzvos miyad baboker, but there is a mitzvos rizim aktib. The mitzvos to do it in the morning. Now, already you see there's a couple of issues here. First of all, the Muda Shachar, Netzachama issue. The other one is the issue of Zrizos, which is a challenge to figure out, because every mitzvah has an idea of Zrizim Akdim in the mitzvah. So is there a specific, but there seems to be a specific idea when it comes to Mila of having Zrizos. Now, it is true that the Gemara learns out, sort of uses Mila as the paradigm of Zrizim Akdim in the mitzvahs, but I always found it odd that the pasuk that the Gemara is the Gemara in Maseches Tzachim, when it talks about Zrizos, says, how do we know that Mila needs to be done in the morning? It says, because it says, Veishkim Avram Boker. That pasuk is not referring to Mila, though. That pasuk is referring to Avram going out and doing the Akedah. Mm-hmm. So why exactly is it just a regular halacha of Zrizim, like there is in every other mitzvah, or is there a special issue when it comes to Mila? So that's one issue to get to. Okay, and then the Torah continues, Chol ein malin oso ad shi'evriya, that you shouldn't get do a brisan on him until he gets better. U'mamtinan lo mi'eshin israpi michalev, and you should wait from the time that he heals, shiva yamim. Now, right, it says shmona shiva, so in the Beis Yosef's edition it said shmona, but he tells you it really should be shiva, based on the Gemara. So you wait 7 days, mi'esh l'eis va'az malin oso, when in reality it's 8 days, right, that from the moment that he gets better, so you wait till the same day next week after that time, right? So it could be, and so it could end up being in the middle of the day. That's
I'm not sure this business about seven, because really it's seven all the time.
No. But from the time he gets better, if there was a child that was ill, so you would have to wait 7 days
but it's still 8 days after he gets better. Correct.
Now there's a chumrah here also, in that also not even with a child is born in the afternoon, you could do it 7 days later in the morning, right? The eighth day is 7 days later in the morning. Here it's going to be from the time of me'is leis. You have to from the time that it actually happened. The gamaz imel so el biyom afapi she'in b'zman, but and even then you have to do it during the day. So medvar amurim shechal tzaso chama v'chiyotzi behen shehu choli b'chol aguf. That's if had some kind of fever where he was sick in the entire body. But if he only had like an issue someplace, he could go and shechavo lo enav, he had weak eyes or something like that. Wait for him to get better, and then you could do the bris right away. Fine, to the end of it is not, later on.
So the big issue with the jaundice.
Yeah.
But that's a whole body thing.
Yes. But it's not. I mean, the jaundice is discussed in a different sermon. This is hard because this is sort of like a big chunk of Mila also right here. But that jaundice issue is discussed later on. That's like its own category. Jaundice isn't really. I mean, it's chola. It looks weird, but it's not really a chola. Like the child's not really ill in the regular way. But that will be discussed. The specific jaundice issue. I mean, that the Gemara talks about of a yellow a baby that's Yerok had its own category. But this is a kid who has a fever. Or truth is, we've had. I mean, only of the brises I've been involved in my shuls, plural, the only ones that took place on time were my two sons. Mm-hmm. My Yeshua was in Riverdale. Right? I've had like a bunch, proportionally, for the amount of brises I've been involved with. Everyone has had some kind of issue. So some of which we'll maybe get into later tonight if we get up to that. Okay, so the starting point is during the day and not at night. So the Beis Yosef here says, yeah, that's a pasuk in Chumash. And then he says, Mashakasu v'yom v'layla, Mishnah Perek, that's also in the beginning of the second Perek of Megillah, where it's mentioned there as one of the things that happened during the day. And then he gets into, what's this deal that the Torah says, Misha'ala Muda Shachar? So he says, Mishnah, that's the beginning of the second Perek of Megillah, El Shi'ish B'divri Rabbeinu Chisaron, right? The Torah is missing something. Shahavali Lichtov, the meaning the Mishnah in Megillah lists a bunch of mitzvahs that have to take place during the day, and it says it should take place after Netzachama, which is sunrise, and if it happened from Amud HaShachar, Alos Hashachar, so then it's going to be, we'll consider that b'di'evit. I mean, really, at the beginning of the day, it sounds like it starts from Alos Hashachar, but, you know, we're machmer to wait till actual sunrise. So Mila is on that list as something that has to take place during the Ezechamas. He's like a little sad at the tour. He's like, wait, you left that part out. That b'di'evit, of al-d'chadchila, in malin ad-shad neitzacham. Al-d'chadchila, you really have to wait until sunrise. The hamamtin n'hachi, isa in malin v'lo tovlin v'lo mazin ad-shad neitzacham. So that's on the list. Don't do Mila and don't go to the mikvah. V'lo mazin. Not sure what that's referring to.
Sprinkling the waters of the red heifer.
Ah, okay, right. Don't do hazad. That has to take place during the day. It's only tzachama. V'kulon she'asu mishal amud ha'shachar kasher. If you did from amud ha'shachar, it would be okay, fine. So then he says v'heicha da'avar umal b'layim. What if you did do avrus at night? So these are like very common issues that come up today, especially if the family's not so religious. All of a sudden, you know, somebody, a pediatrician in the hospital, will do a mila at some point. So what happens and before he dates? So is that considered a good thing? What happens then? So the avar umal b'layla. So mi pashad masnisin mashved de ina kasher. So it sounds like it's not kasher. It sounds like he didn't accomplish anything. V'im kein yitzdarich lachzur lahatif imenu dambris. And if so, then you have to go back and do hatafas dambris afterwards. V'chein kasvu hagos maimoni. That's also what the gos maimoni commentary on the Rambam. That's what it says as well. That if you do a mila shelo bizmana, meaning it's done at night. So then you would go back later and do hatafas dambris, which will let a little bit of blood out. V'im hadavar kein, yeshlik mo ala poskim shelo haskiru. So if that's the case, so it's a little odd that some people don't mention that. I mean, like the tour. Yeah, he doesn't. He's not upset with the tour yet, but he's upset with others that don't say. Maybe they hold that you don't have to do a toughest dam bris, meaning they might agree that you can't do a bris has to be done at night, but they don't agree with the remedy. Meaning the remedy is, oh well, if you didn't have a
bris, cannot be done at night.
Cannot be done. They'll say that, yeah, it can't be done at night. But if it was done at night, there's nothing to do about it anymore. Right? It's over. While the Beis Yosef is saying, no, you could do a toughest dam bris later. Now I didn't do a full study. The sugyas of Amila show up in a bunch of places, but I'm not sure. I think the Gemara only talks about Tavas Dam Bris in the context of a child that was born with a bris already. Right? I'm not sure how Tavas Dam Bris is imposed in these other cases. That might be what the Machlokas is about. V'chein near Medivri Harash Shekasev Herk Rabbi Elazar Demila the Katan Shenimal B'Tok Shmona. If the Rush says that if a child had its bris not at night but before day 8, Eino Tzarech Lachzur L'Hatav. You don't have to go back and do a Tavas Dam Bris. V'chein near Medivri Tshuvas Rashba Sheftu B'Simin Reisam Dalid. Right? V'Lefizet Tzarech Lomar Shemash Shaninu B'Kulan Sheasu Mishal Muda Shachar Kasher. That the fact that it says that as long as it was done from Muda Shachar. It's kosher. Mashvadim asu balayla puzzle. That's telling you that if it's done at night, it's puzzle. Lo kai amila ella a'enach. Right? It's not going on mila, but rather on the other things there in that category. Meaning when the when he says amuda shachar is kosher, it's. Oh, so how do you meaning it's not going? That's not going on the mila part of that mishnah, but rather that line is going on the other things. But technically, you would be yotze at night. I'm not sure why the Beis Yosef doesn't just say that maybe there's no remedy at that point. I mean, there's a couple of different aspects to the mitzvah of mila. One is the mitzvah of actually doing the mila. The second one is to have a mila. The third, or to be milad, right? The third one is to not be not milad. Right, I think that's the way they say that in the name of the Ragav Shavar, that there are three dinim in Mila, that those three categories. What? So one second, what's the story with doing it out of time? So that's also something to think about. But so it could be that Hatavas Dam Bris doesn't solve the problems. I mean, the mitzvah of Mila is already done. Hatavas Dam Bris is the mitzvah of Mila. So, but he might be qualified as having a bris. It might be qualified as not being an RL, and there's no point in just going ahead and taking blood out because you're not going to accomplish the mitzvah of bris mila anyways because something was done already. That might only work in the case where the child was already born having showing the mila. So anyways, so that's discussion. And maybe you might distinguish also the Darkei Moshe here comments. He says, "V'efshar da'adiv toch shmona yamim me'ilu nimo b'layla." That could be you could distinguish and say a bris within 8 days during the day might be better than a bris bismano at night. Right, even if it's born on the night of the 8th or the night of the 9th or the 9th of the 10th, a daytime bris might be better, which might be you might be able to distinguish as well. So there's a lot of confusion about that issue.
So someone who converts who has circumcision.
Well, conversion is not. So what happened during the day? I'm pretty sure. I'm 99% sure.
Do a toughest time bris.
I mean, if he had a circumcision already, so he would do a toughest time bris. Yes,
yeah.
It's a lot. It's not as bad as it sounds. That he's seen a couple of times, it's really not a big deal. It's a little awkward. Other than the awkwardness, it's not very painful.
I remember once when I was working at the Weitzman, so one of the guys in the lab wasn't religious, had a boy in the bris. Now the mail was the mail of a chovot. Wait, it's getting to be later and later, because the guy has to do all...
The whole town.
The whole town, I guess, or whatever part of the town. Yeah. So he finally showed up like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, 3 o'clock.
Right, it was not night yet, but I could see it could have gotten to be night.
All right, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that issue. That's all, that falls under the Jesus issue. Okay, so then to continue, we'll continue with the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef then comments as well in Beis. So Chol Eimal Sorach Yiver Umashu Kasuv Mas Nisan Lo Meish Nisrap Michal Yav. If you wait until it heals from its illness, 8 days Meish Leis. So he says, Toh Sofer, he says, that's a mistake, Yishkan, but Tzarek Ligro, Shiva, should say seven. Makum Shmona, that's what it says in the Gemara. Fine. And then he skipped to, there's a period there, and then about 3 lines before it gets wide, it says, Uva Gemari Baylan, Ahad Shmuel, the Amar, Nostin Lo, Kol Shiva. Ibeinim Esla Eso Lo, Velo Ifshita. It has the question there, when you say 7 days, does it mean Me'esla Eso, or does it just mean you get to the seventh day? The Gemara never answers. Bechasav Arash, Vekeven Shesafik Nefashosu, right? It's interesting. It might be a Chumra in Mila, but it would you then be Makil in Nefashos, right? So you see, because there's a Suffolk Nefashos with it, so we're going to be Machmir and wait till the Eisel Eis goes by. Avarif Kasav Ifshita to be in a Eisel Eis Peirsharan Lo Ifshita Hacha El Avarisha Aral Right Husha Amrukein Yalzeh Samachara. That's what we rely on, that you have to wait those 7 days. Fine. Kasav Ma'arik B'Shor Shkuf Memvav. An interesting Shaila here. Be in a Milas Hakatan Shechala Choli Shal Sakana. That you had a mila of the child that got sick with regards to the mila of a katan that got sick to the point of a sakana uvasof huka me'alav chelyav, he got better from the illness veizia, he got better ad shelo haya bo od sakana v'shuv, and then there's no sakana, so now they start counting the clock for the 7 days until you'd be able to give the bris, but then he had a relapse. Says v'shuv l'sof shnayim o shlosha yamim chazer liyoslo karva. It got a karcha ketan, got a small fever. Achlosh l'sakan, but it wasn't dangerous. It just got a fever. So v'chazer v'hezia v'nechalchem. Then it got better. So me'imasai. So when do you count the 7 days? Me'imasai yim nilo shivas yimei havra so. Me'zeh harishona u'mishniya. Is it from the first time when he got better, or from the second time when he got better? Right, good question. Right, he was cholashish b'sakana, got better, but 2 days later he gets another fever, becomes a cholashim b'sakana, and now we're going to count from there. So what do we do with that?
Why should there be a question? It's after the second one.
You don't even hear the question. But the second one might not have
wasn't so serious.
I mean, is that an extension of the first illness or not? So he says yes. Yeah, so you all right? So
but I thought like when. It's always choloshet yishbo sakana when there is a
day. Right, so I was thinking about that. Yeah. He doesn't say that, but yes, he says near the fianes. I see. Dara pasha she'in limdus me'azer rishon. El mirshi, go for the second one. V'lo mi'bayim apama rishon lo shalifnu chama mikol v'kol el afilu lo haya lo shum kadachas achar zeh rishona mikol makum kevin shechazru lo hakadachas b'ksas l'vaso, because the fever came back a little bit at the end. Shnayim lo shoshu yamim igli milsa shadayin lo hevriya mechol le rishon. It's still considered sick from the first one. Right, he doesn't go to, and therefore he'd be considered cholish ein bosak sheish bosakana anyways. Yeah, I don't know. Ve'in l'shloach yabi yelet ad achar shiva yamim l'hevraso hashni. You have to wait till the end of the second case. Bikol v'chol she shiva suffik nefashos v'hochem bo l'hachmir. We're going to be machmir on that, right, with regards to suffik nefashos. So he uses that language. Then he adds in here one other thing, that a kusav harash, this is going to be relevant later on, kusav harash b'tshuva, the tinuk shechal v'nishrap b'chamishi b'shal, it gets better on Thursday, mam tinin lo ad l'machar, right? V'chasafti time, and we'll talk about a reish halachas. You'd wait until the next day, meaning as opposed to having the bris on Thursday, you might wait till Friday to have the bris, because the reason is, and this is why most brises shalobis mana end up being on Sundays, because the third day would then be on Shabbos, right? And the third day is considered the worst day. So therefore, we don't want that to be on Shabbos, and therefore you push off for Thursday and Friday. But then the others would say it shouldn't be on Erev Shabbos either. So therefore, and it can't be on Shabbos. So therefore, half of the brises shalom bizmano end up being on Sunday, because you have 4 days worth of brises that would take place on that day. Right. So I remember when I learned Hilchos Mila, the teacher said, like, oh, like, sort of said it cynically, like, oh, like, it's such a coincidence, all the brises shalom bizmano always end up being on Sunday. A Sunday afternoon. Like, no. First of all, you take half of the week and end up being that way, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. And then beyond that, you also, for the doctor to clear it, right, when do you consider the baby better? So for the, I believe, we'll get into this a couple of simanim later, but I believe it's from the time when the doctor gives his okay. So the doctor's not giving his okay at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. Right? The doctor's giving his okay at 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's when you end up having the bris shelo bizman. Fine. So then the Beis Yosef adds in as well here, just because it goes back to Aleph. He says, Beperek Ha'arel plucked this idea of that you have to do it during the day no matter what. And he says that's actually a machlokas in the Gemara. That extra vav, he says, that's to teach you that even if it's not bismana, it's still going to have to be during the day. It's not clear why we would pass in that way. Because there's only one person who argues on it. The Brisa Torah's Kohanim Asi Kavasi paskins that way, as you see over there. And also it sounds like also hold that way as well. And that's the way the Rif Rush and Rambam while Paskin. So therefore it absolutely positively has to be during the day. Fine. So now let's see how this shows itself up in Shulchan Aruch. So in Reish Samach Beis Sif Aleph. So Reish Samach Beis Sif Aleph says Ein Malin Ad Shetanei Tzachama. Right, so we're not going to do the Mila until sunrise. Right, so that's where the Beis Yosef taking into account. Right, not Alus Hashachar, but Neitzachama. Uveyom Hashmini Leidaso. And on day 8, Umishal, and then the Rama adds in Mishal Amud Hashachar Yatsa. Right, you'd be Yotze if it was from Amud Hashachar. Says V'chol Yom Kashul Mila. The whole day is fine for a bris. El Shizrizin Makdim LeMitzvah Umalin Miyad Baboker. But Zrizus takes precedence, and therefore it should be right away in the morning. How right away is right away. Okay. V'afilu Mila Shelo Bizman in El Bayom. Even if that is not asked to be during the day. Ovar Umal Belayla Tzarich Lachsul Hatif Benu Dam Bris. We pass. You have to go back and be a toughest Dam Bris. However, Malu Toch Ches Uvayom. Yatzab, if it's within 8 days and during the day, you are Yotze. Who's that passing like? It's passing like the Rush. Right? So the Rush splits the psak. The Rush, if it says if it happened at night, you need to do a Tavas Dam Bris. And if it happened during the day, you don't have to go back and do a Tavas Dam Bris. And that's what Darkei Moshe pointed out, that there are those who make that distinction between some point during the day and at night. Okay, so that's we end up not passing like that, as we'll see in the Shach.
Yeah, because they're both Lo Bizmano.
Right. So why would he
during the day?
Right. So why would he distinguish? So there, I think that you distinguish because they're being learnt out from different places. I mean, one can actually make a case that like a cesarean section, you don't have to wait for day 8. Like it could be that Yom is a Zman Bris, we just wait till day 8, as opposed to night, which is an Inu Zman Bris. You make like a lumdisha distinction in that way. So the Rush makes a distinction. The Rush says that. You know, we don't. We end up not passing like that. Although we do take it into account, as we'll see. So the Piskei Tshuva Beis in Malam Arshnei Tzachan, he's sending you something else. Okay. So he has an interesting thing this, with regards to this reason. So we'll get into a little bit more about this reason. But he says, "I am a Tshuva Shvus Yaakov Chelikav Simon Lamet Shakasad Yish Limchos BeChazanim Shemarichim BeShabbos VeYom Tov." He gets very upset. We should protest against the Chazanim that daven too long on Shabbos and Yontif. When there's a meal in Shul, ad, this is pretty late, ad achar chatzos. They go to after chatzos. So I say we should protest anyways, even if it's not a bris and shul, if you go until after Chatzos. But that's the Pesach Yeshiva says you should make sure that the bris would be able to get in before Chatzos. Ve'mevatle mitzvah zrizim, because they're getting rid of the mitzvah zrizim. Now there is this distinction made that Chatzos is the zman of zrizis. I'm not really sure why, like why we're making that distinction, but that, like, you know, is a bit, poskim are willing to sort of be much more lenient before Chatzos than they are after Chatzos. Then he gets into, I'm not sure how he says, oh, one second, v'ayin b'nun tzadi, I'm not sure what that is, linyan im ha'av v'amolim mutarim lechol kodem amila, whether they could eat beforehand, see there, okay. Then he says, v'ayin shuvas no debi Yehuda, so a quote from the Alta Zaydi here. Aldas tinok shelo nimol bezmano. This is a famous note of Yehuda. That there is a child who didn't have his bris at the right time, so it was being postponed already. It says machmas chol, because it was sick. V'shuv chazal b'yarsa, and then it got better. So va'aviv rotza. So the father wanted to la'akev l'molo ad shiagia erev Pesach. So the father said, oh, I got a great idea. We have to postpone the bris anyways. Let's postpone it until erev Pesach. K'dei sheyochlu habikurim al hasuda. So that. What I say? Bichorim. So that the Bichorim could have the Suda off of that kid, off of that bris that's taking place. Bichasav, so right, that's his suggestion. So this, I believe, is the first, like the earliest indication of people like looking for ways out of the fast. Mm-hmm. Right? I think it used to just be like, you know, you're a Bichor, so you fasted, Erev Pesach. Like that's what people did. So I think this is actually the first source, or one amongst the earliest sources of like looking for a way out. So the chasav, so the Nodvi who says, chasav dezeh maisa mekuna, that's not a good thing to do. Ma'od, chada, number one, she'over mitzvah zrizim, you're going to be violating zrizim, plus you're pushing off the bris. And gam yish lachush ulai chasav shalom yamus havlad. Right? Maybe the child's going to die in the meantime. V'nidchim ha-mitzvah l'gamri. Then you'll lose out on the mitzvah entirely. I mean, it says the child got better already. This would be, I think, a couple years ago in Rosh Hashanah, I think he gave a shir on how concerned do you have to be that you're going to die, right? Like, in terms of like mitzvahs or saying, oh, I'm going to get to this. How concerned do you have to be that you're going to die? So this would actually be a good makor for that, right? So you see, the Nubi, I think, was just like really annoyed. And like, he seems to be piling on a little bit. He says, V'alchein, here he says, V'alchein yesh lesor afim kfar lo maluhu v'yigi erev Pesach shelo lemulu. He says that we should even aser, even if that is the right time. Not the right time of day 8. If it's day 8, it's day 8. But even if the Me'es L'Ace ends up being on that day, right, you should still not do the bris on that day. Shazeh Eitzes Chataim. This is so bad. Okay. Now, the truth is, well, if that's the case, you're going to end up being pushing it off another 3 days at least, right, because of the... What?
You don't do it on Yantif.
Because you don't do it on Yantif, and then it's going to be a Thursday probably, and then it's going to be... right, so you're going to be pushing it off a lot more. He suggests that. So v'yish ligzor right mishum pam acheres shema yisha, right, and that should be a gezerah because we don't want people to say the next year, I remember last year we had a bris shalom bezman erev Pesach, maybe let's do that with our kid. So v'od mehichi tesi lahati lachachil lashos mila shalom bezman alama. Who says you can hold it off at all? Be'erev Shabbos sheish lachush sheyavu lidei chil Shabbos because we're concerned. I guess that year happened to be an Erev Shabbos. So who says you can do it Erev Shabbos? Because maybe it's going to lead to Chol Shabbos. Va'od mi hiter le'bechorim lechol be'erev Pesach b'sudas mila. And by the way, who says a sudas mila is enough to permit the bechorim to eat? Shalom bizmana. Who says a mila, a suda mila shalom bizmana is enough to allow the bechorim to eat? So needless, so I think the Nodvi Yehuda is not such a fan of that idea, but it's... It's a nice collector's item tshuva over there.
I wonder if he was a Bechor. Who knows?
Well, it's not so hard to figure out. I mean, I have to check my family tree.
Anyway, I'm sure that wouldn't answer anything.
I think something tells me he might have been an only child, but I'm not sure.
I have a little marker. We must have read this before.
How could that
be? Oh.
It's impossible. Yeah, no, man. I make pencil marks sometimes. I don't have my pencil today.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, must have been a long time.
All right. So then Shalom Bizmana also. So then it's Pisri Chuva. The next Pisri Chuva also points out, I'm Bishelos Yavet, Shakasa Vehecha, Shenensu, Onis Atzel, Biyom Ches, I've been a Shmashos, Velomalu, Adif Lamel, Ben a Shmashos, Shu, Suffix Shmini, Suffix Chi, Milomolo, Shalom Bizmana, Bavadayom. So, and then he adds in from this Yavetz, right? If in your case of the kid coming around, so now it's Ben Hashmashos, he says, better to do the bris, Ben Hashmashos, from day 8 to day 9, rather than hold off to a Vada Yom. I have here a pencil mark, When I learned Hilchos Mila, aval anu lo paskin and kazeh. We don't pass in this way. Ki anu poskim shemila belayel lo yotze bechlal. Meaning he's going within the position that it could be that you are yotze at night. We hold that at night you're not yotze at all, and therefore we would not attempt such a thing that she'ilas yavet is suggesting. Fine. So this issue of Zriza, so first of all, so a couple of notes here.
We would consider night.
We already would consider it night.
I heard a story many years ago when we were in Chicago that it was going to be a Shabbos bris. I guess the child was born, but it turned out that they were sitting around at the Shalom Zohar, and they were just talking about the.
Then they turned out it was a C-section.
No, they found out the baby was born Ben Ashmashos. And I guess that
means you wouldn't be on Shabbos.
It wouldn't be, yeah. And they had a big Kiddush plan.
They still had a big Kiddush, probably.
They had a big Kiddush. What else are they going to do?
And then Ben Ashmashos on Shabbos, so it was almost Sunday.
The other issue is whose calculations do you use? I mean, who decides what Ben Ashmashos is? A makot for a Ben Atam, etc. And also, so that's question A. I mean, this actually becomes a real thing. Right? You can't just say, oh, let's hold off till later. Right? So that's question A. How do you paskin, whose shita is? The second issue with that is, and who gets to paskin that shayla? Right? It's very nice that the rabbi of the shul says, I hold that Ben Ashmashos is over already. It's like, well, you're not being Machal Shabbos, the Mo'el says, right? I'm the one who's going to end up being Machal Shabbos, so I'm the one who should be able to decide that Friday that
night.
Shayla.
It must have been, because when baby's born, let's say, about a Friday night, Bris is on next Shabbos.
Right? Correct. Right, so who decides whether it's about a Friday night? That's where the issue is.
Then they're sitting around, and realizing they should have had the Bris already.
No.
Next day, it was the day before the Bris.
No, for example, if this week Shabbos started, 4:57 or 4:53, right? So that means Shkia was 5:10, right? So let's say the baby's born 5:45. Right, so who are we going to pass the like? So there are communities that have very strict mesoras on these things. For instance, the Chabad has, I'm not sure how they pass with regards to Shabbos ending, but I shouldn't speak for them, but they're pretty strong about the Baal HaTanya's Tzeis HaKochavim ending 24 minutes after Shkia, which is not for Melachos on Shabbos, but for fast days. I'm pretty sure they're pretty they line
up. So it would have been Friday for them,
right? So no. So if it's 5:45, they're going to say that's Vaday Laila, in which case the bris is going to be on Shabbos, while we probably wouldn't say that. We say there's 50 minutes of suffix that we pretty much have, right? So for fast days, we'll be a little more makel. For Shas, we'll be a little bit more machmir. And for Rabbi Cohn's chumrah about saying halal on Pesach night after Tzeisach Chachav will be very makel, right? But but would you be matir in Isur Doraisa, which potentially Mila would be off of that? So
b'stavina. But between sunset and
Safes. That's being a shot. So when is that?
What do we say? Yeah.
Well, is it Friday or Sunday?
Yeah, that's
Friday or Friday night.
Right.
Even if you say Safes is early, but still you have a period before Safes, after Shkia. There's always some period there.
You have a period before it says.
Between after Shkia, but before
Tzeis. Oh, there definitely is something called Ben Ashmashos.
Yeah, and that's
right?
The time when.
By the way, it could work the other way also. If you're in a real Hasidic community where they really hold over Benu Tam time, and they'll do Malacha till, this past Shabbos, they might be doing Malacha till 5:45, right? So they also.
Right, but forget about Shabbos for a minute. So if someone's born Ben Ashmashos, do we say that it's that day or the next day?
We say it's the next. We're going to be mach. We're going to be mach.
It's not Shabbos.
So. Right. So you could always you could always do a bris later. You can't do it earlier. So we're always going to say it's later. It's the later time.
Except
if it's Shabbos. And sometimes also, I think I'll figure this out again. So we'll get to this later on. If like a second day of Yontif, these issues just get started also. Right, you would do a bein hashmash. I think you would do a bein hashmashos bris on the second day of Yontif. I gotta go back and review that.
The bris on the eighth day, assuming it was already a new day. You push it back. Even so, you might be missing the real eighth day.
Correct.
But
it's at least 8 days.
Right, but there is an inyan to it on day eight, but the suffix will push it off. But yeah, you start getting into this, you know, they really become real state. It's not so easy to say, oh, I'll just be machmir and push it off a little bit later. So Pesachim Chumas here actually says that it talks about, is there a chiyuv to attempt to get the baby, like what do you have to go through to get the baby to a place where it'll have the bris on day eight? And he starts quoting that there are like these simanim that have been passed around for years about ways of getting the baby right, like especially if the baby has some type of jaundice or something. So, there's a couple ways to lower it. For instance, you put it out in the sun a little bit, or you give it a little more to eat or more to drink.
With Michael.
Right. Yeah. You get one of those closets, right? Yeah, so, or do something like that. Or they would would try to feed it more, which I'm not sure how you're going to be able to do. But then he adds in later years, it's become published, you put the baby in a bath, which is problem number one for a couple days old. Yachad im dugim. I don't want to. Kemeduma carpion, like carp. Moel ma'od lazeh. So that's very helpful. I don't know. I've never tried it.
Did you mention putting a 1 year old?
Helpful for what?
To remove the jaundice.
Well, you know, the doctors do use lighting lights.
Yeah. They don't use fish.
No,
they haven't got there yet. I don't know. Anyways, so
Yosef was born. He was very, very light. Miriam was nursing him like crazy to get him up to the weight, and she finally got him up to, I think Rabbi Eisen wouldn't do less than 5 pounds 1 ounce.
Yeah.
So I said to Rabbi Eisen, I think he's going to make the weight. He said, so what? He can still get jaundice.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Right. I was wondering with one of the cases we had here with this child, with this waiting 8 days. So, like, does that really apply? It's not as though the doctor declares it healthy. It's healthy, like that. So I asked Rabbi Eisen about it. Rabbi Eisen said, listen, you can ask your postman all you want. I'm not doing the bris unless you wait the 7-8 days. So, but everybody agrees to that. That's assumed. All right. So, anyway, so that's issue number one.
So that's Rabbi Eisen said. If the baby was sick and it wasn't done on time,
I mean the Kol Choli case.
He's gonna wait. He's gonna.
He said, "I'm not doing the bris until there's a 7-day maize waiting period." No negotiations on that. Even though it was Manazeh, you might say, "Oh, you know, it's healthy." Nope, that we're gonna keep. I remember asking Mary Willig about this. I think it was that case. It's like you could always have the bris later. I don't want to have it too early. It's much better for have to have the baby to have the bris too late than too early. All right, so so this is also a shail, also the issue of pushing it off for ripui of Aver. So this is actually a case that came up with me a few times, not here, not in this shul, but there is a case, there's something called hypospadias, which is that there's like a deformity of the penis a little bit at the end.
Roughly Wolpert head.
Okay, well, it might be hereditary also, I guess, but I remember we had, so this case happened in, to one of my families in Phoenix, so they told me, this family, they said it happened with the earlier kid also, and they flew in some mole who said he would do it on day eight. I mean, so what's the issue? The issue is that in order to heal it, so the pediatric urologist, pediatric surgeon, will use the skin, will use the foreskin in order to repair the area. That's the issue. But they generally won't do it until 3-4 months, until the baby's 3-4 months old. So this family of mine in Phoenix, they said, we had someone flew in from Los Angeles and did the bris and the surgery, like in the rabbi's office, in my office. Like, and they're like, we don't want to do that again. Like, do we have to wait? So there's I spoke with somebody who said no way, not going to allow that. But the other shayla that Nishmas Avram discusses this.
What?
The surgery.
And the bris.
I mean, to allow this, it was an older mole who said, oh yeah, I have a masorah on how to do this, and he did it.
So he did it on the 8th day?
He did it on the day 8 in the rabbi's office. Like, this is like something that takes place in hospitals, right? So that wasn't going to happen. But they also, the issue is that there's not necessarily anything wrong with the baby, right? It's just, like, the baby will function fine, probably, right? So you could do the bris, and it'll just have this deformity. So is it worth giving up the day 8 in order to in order so that the child won't have this deformity later on, even though there won't physically be any issue? So that the poskim seem to come out and say yes. That is on what basis? Meaning,
yes, meaning you should
wait. Meaning you can wait. You can wait. And so on what basis are you going to be permitted to do that? So so what is that, you know, there could be psychological trauma, whatever, you know, whatever it is that would be later on. That's what he quoted here. Regarding the necessity of surgery, since there's usually no problem either with urination or fertility. However, there may be cosmetic and psychological problems that require expert advice from an experienced pediatric urologist and a MOL before the questions put before any posting. That's what it says here in the Nishmas of Rab. But he adds in here as well that the heter is also that you don't have to, that might be considered giving up more than one-fifth, meaning to, like, you don't have to give up more than one-fifth of your length in order to do a mitzvah. So that might be considered above and beyond, especially when you consider what we talked about last week, that's not necessarily the father's kashman, it's the kid's kashman, right? And the father say, no, I want to do the mitzvah. It's the kid, right? So you not necessarily have the right to be bilious over the over that issue with regards to the child.
The cosmetic issue.
Right. Right. So who says that that's enough to push off a bris? So the poskim, from what I can tell, all assume yes. Abizman is that. Now what adds in a little bit more is that what exactly? So now how does it happen? I mean, a bris has to happen also. So I remember I spoke with a doctor. I think he goes to B'nai Yeshur, and I was put in touch with this pediatric. The first time this happened twice. The first time it happened, I got in touch with this pediatric urologist who lives in Teaneck, who says, "Well, look, I would tell you to fly the kid to me, and I'll do the surgery." Parents are like, "We're not flying to New York, right? If you fly me to do the surgery, and I'll be the mole also. Meaning that I'll do the action of the Mila, and then I'll put it back together, and everything will be fine." But if the parents don't want to do that, so then, and this is what they wanted to use the pediatric urologist in Phoenix Children's Hospital or something who wasn't Jewish. So you need to have a Jewish moel going in there and taking care of it. Now the Jewish moel is like, there's someone in Phoenix who said, yeah, I did this before. I just did the first cut and then I don't have to worry about it. So no, that actually doesn't work. It's actually not enough. You need to kind of be there the whole time. To cut every part of the foreskin, meaning they're gonna the way the surgery works is they take the foreskin off, take whatever foreskin off they need for it, and then they cut off the rest, right? They get rid of the rest. Meaning they cut off a little bit, repair what needs to be repaired, then whatever's left they get rid of. So the mole has to be there both in the beginning part and the end part to make sure that the entire mila happens. That's what we set up.
When you make the rough.
I think as he's starting, I don't remember, but as he's starting. So I remember actually going to this doctor, this Dr. Bailey, I think was his name. I went to his office. I made an appointment. Like, oh, come see me in my office. I made an appointment. It's like, all right. And I walk into this pediatric urology office. And, I'm just here by myself. Wondering what all these people are thinking. I'm like, hold on. You know, Yonah Gross, the doctor will see you now. I'm like, we actually drew diagrams on his on his examination table, and then quickly got rid of it before the next patient came in. But anyways, Baruch Hashem, that worked out. And it happened to be that another child happened to be the same situation as I was leaving, which was pretty wild. I think it's one in a couple thousand babies that this happens.
When they do it at 3 and 4 months, they do the first step.
Right, so do the bris then.
It's part of the surgery.
That's correct, it's part of the surgery. Now, there's an additional issue about naming the child. You name the child earlier or not. I think Rishon LeZalman here, some quoted here elsewhere, says that, yes, you could give the child a name. And I remember also that on the way to the hospital, I remember calling Rav Nata Greenblatt, who's also a moel, that's what I called him. And it's do we do another, I didn't think about this before, do we do another Kriyas Hashem? He says, sure. But he already has a name. He says, it doesn't matter. You should do it. You should do it a la coast. And plus, why should the child miss out on the simon of drinking the wine with the mayichayi? The child should have that. After which, I don't even recall if the child was able to come out for it or not. So I remember turning around, right? Gotta go back home, go get the grape juice, and then went to the hospital to take care of that situation. That's the hypospadias issue. Now the other's reason, the bigger, sort of more prominence reasons issue is, okay, what if you want to have it later in the day, is in order to have more people there. So you're automatically you're not going to do it at Nitzachama, right? Because you're davening, right? Davening is going to take precedence over a bris, right? So you're always going to do davening first because of tadir, sheino tadir, etc., as well as that sort of you include tfilos towards the bris. But what if you want to have it 10 o'clock in the morning? What if you want to have it 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Right? So what exactly is the issue there? So the those who talk about it, Rav Asher Weiss has this has a chapter about this in the Sefer Kolei Mitzvos, as well as I think in like a bunch of other places. But he points to, and I think that everybody sort of starts the sugya with sugya in Kiddush Levana, obviously, right?
Of course.
Of course, right? Why? What's the Shaila Kiddush Levana? It shouldn't be too hard. What's the connection to Kiddush Levana? Right. So we postpone Kiddush Levana till Motzei Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Why do we postpone Kiddush Levana till Motzei Shabbos?
People are there.
Well, the official reason is that we postpone because everyone's dressed up nicely Motzei Shabbos. Right. So you're going to have it with A, more people, and B, with everyone dressed up, as opposed to having it during the week. So the Chumas Hadeshin was asked, so should we, is this like an appropriate thing? Like, and Chumas Hadeshin asks his own Shilas, right? So he put this forward, and that's the way the Ramah quotes it, that you could push it off to Motzei Shabbos and everybody will be dressed nicely, so long as you'll have enough time afterwards that you'll vada have an opportunity to do Kiddush Levana, right? And he puts it at day 10, I think. Day 10 or 11, that you can push it off to Motzei Shabbos until then. If Motzei Shabbos is going to be after day 10 or 11, which would only be the second week through, right? So then you should do it right away rather than wait till Motzei Shabbos, because there's a chance that you're going to risk it. So that, and the Ramah paskens that way. That's the Ramah brings it down, quoting from the Chumash Hadeshin. And that seems to be the starting point of saying that, yes, in theory, you could push off a mitzvah for the purpose of making it nicer, so long as you're vadai going to be able to get it done. However, and Rosh Weiss also quotes this another example of that. He says he has a Shvus Yaakov about somebody who wakes up on Sukkot in the morning and he has a decent Esrog, but he knows that he's going to get a better Esrog later in the day. So can he hold off on doing benching Luv and Esrog, holding out to get the better Esrog that's going to come later? He says it depends. If you're going to Vadai get the Sukkot, the Esrog later, so then you could hold off. If not, then you do it earlier. Now, it's unclear to me of what if you know you for sure will have the not so nice Esrog the entire day, right? It seemed like he was spelling it out as if you know the better one is coming, so then you can lose your opportunity now to have the better one later. What if you know you'll have the better one later? What if you know you'll have the lesser one later no matter what? Can you still push it off to it? That was unclear to me from the child. But he says, so long as you're for sure going to get the mitzvah, you could push it off. And then he says also, there's maybe more famous is a sugi in Rosh Hashanah where it talks about that you push off Malchus, Echronos, and Shofros. Why do you do that in Musaf and not in the morning? So it said, because of Rov Ham Hadras Melech. So the Gemara says, if so then Hal should also be after Musaf. Why do we hold off on Hal? Why do Hal in the morning? Plus Hal, plus his Rizum Akdim and Lemitzvah. So the sugi concludes by saying, we're going to do Hal in the morning because of his Rizus, and we're going to do Shofar and Musaf because of Maisa Shahaya, which is that there was an issue of the soldiers were coming. It's unclear. You know, the soldiers were coming, and they didn't want to. They wanted to push it off till after the soldiers would leave, so that they'd be able to blow shofar a little bit later on. This implies that shofar would his reason would beat out Rov Ham Hadras Melech. He says, however, Rav Asher Weiss turns around and says, but who says? Who says that vada you're going to have more people later? Sometimes you're not going to vada have more people later. Sometimes people start filing out unless you're going to have shofar later. Right, so he ends up saying, there's no real way to come up with kolam on this, right? And just and how to put the two together, it's just like, it's sort of like a mesora is developed in a case-by-case basis, how to weigh those two components. So it's different. And then he talks about he makes the point here about not only is the pasuk of Vayashkim Avram Baboker not have anything to do with the mitzvah of Mila, but the example that we have of Avram doing Mila, it says that the Mila took place Bietzem Hayom Hazeh, right? Bietzem Hayom Hazeh Nimel Avram V'Yishmael Benam. So that sounds like you would push it off until later. And then there is also, the way he spells it, figures out the kolam here, is that to make sure you have a minion, you push it off, but to get more people beyond the minion, you would not push it off. I'm not sure that that's necessarily the minug. And then there's one more famous story about Rav Leibel Eger. Rav Leibel Eger was Rav Akiva Eger's grandson who became Hasidish. So that's like a famous thing. And he became a Rav in Lublin. Hasidish Rav in Lublin. And people wanted him to do the Mila. The only problem is, not only was he the Moel, but he also was often the Sandik. Both. right? That, apparently that's the thing, to be both the Mo'el and the Sadiq. And people wanted him, you know, the great Rav Leibel Eger, to be their Mo'el and the Sadiq. The only thing is that when he was scheduled, he would say, okay, I got to get in the mood. And he would take until 3 o'clock in the afternoon to get into the mood. So that, so the other Rabbanim of the city said you shouldn't use him as a Mo'el or as a, and the Sadiq, you shouldn't use him because you're going to be giving up on the idea of Zrizus. Because he's waiting till much later in the afternoon in order to do it. So that, he actually went and got the... So he went, sent the Shiloh all over the place. So, you know, it's not fair. They're not using me as a Mo'el because I take all my time to prepare the Kavanos, right? I should... They should be using me. And the answer is... He actually lists off in Piskei Tshuvas a bunch. And here he lists off as well. Paskin, then, no, it is okay to use him because all of that is considered preparations of the mitzvah. I mean, what's the source of Zrizus? The source of Zrizus is Avram got up in the morning and did what?
Saddled his donkey.
And saddled the donkey. What's saddling the donkey? That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to go and do Akedas Yitzchak. Why couldn't he saddle the donkey the night before? Right? What happened there? So he says, no, because anything having to do with the preparations of the mitzvah, that's when Zrizus steps in. As long as you're preparing for the mitzvah, then Zrizus is being fulfilled. Otherwise, Avram would have had to saddle the donkey at night so that he'd be able to get to Har Moriah by the morning when it was time to do the Akedah. So he says, so long as he's involved in the preparations, that's okay to push off Zrizus, because that's actually a fulfillment of Zrizus. He's doing the Zrizus all day. Now, excuse me, I wasn't sure. It's very nice he's doing the preparations, but he doesn't have the mitzvah, right? It's the father that has the mitzvah, and he's sitting around twiddling his thumbs all day, waiting for Levi Eger to show up. So I'm not sure, but at least for his sake, he's saying, I'm permitted to hold off in order to get those purposes. All right, anyway, so we got through Aleph here. Some of the illnesses and stuff, I guess we'll cover Mirzusha next week.
So... So you...